Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey, Brandon, welcome to episode 564 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. That means we are just 55 weeks away from episode 619 in my quest for Rey Mysterio, or Dominic Mysterio. I don't want to be picky. But for this week, we're going to have to settle with Chad Smart, who joins us after a few week hiatus. Schedules have been crazy, and we finally are able to sit down and talk a little wrestling together. But Chad, before we dive into this week's topic, you've got some breaking news of your own, so let's hear all about it.
All right, yeah, AJ Lee is back.
Yeah, light it up. Okay, that's the last time I'll do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, good. Yes, no. I feel like Zodiac now. Yes, no. Wow. Brother Brutai. No, loyal listeners of this show, and hopefully people that follow me on social media. If you don't, you can at Twitter at Chad Smart, on Blue Sky at Chad Smart. No politics involved. That's just a disclaimer, not actually in my name. I used to do a podcast called Out of Touchstone. And then about a year and a half ago, I think it was, the show went on hiatus due to life getting in the way of things. And now, because I've had a lot of time on my hands the last few months, I needed a hobby, and I am bringing the show back, but not as podcast and not in POG form, as we discussed before the show went on the air, but actually as a YouTube series. And so it will kick off this Tuesday, September 9th, I believe it is, 3 p.m. Pacific time. It will launch, and right now it's only one film per episode, whereas on the podcast we would do two films plus Hollywood Pictures plus Disney Picture releases. But right now we're in 1995 of Touchstone, which is a weird year because Touchstone only released six films that year, while Hollywood Pictures released 16, I believe. Oh, so wow. Trying to match up things. But Tuesdays we're going to do new episodes of Out of Touchstone. Fridays we're doing double feature Fridays, where we take a Touchstone movie and give you one spot on recommendation for a double feature and one kind of out of the box thinking for a double the feature. And on Wednesdays I may start uploading all the bloopers and outtakes, because that will be like four times as long as the show actually is. I really need a teleprompter.
There you go. Well, there's an app for that, so you could I think it's cool. Congratulations on doing this and getting it going. I know it's something you've talked about for a long time, and I know you've worked very hard on getting things ready for this debut episode, which drops, like you said, on Tuesday, September 9th. So, it's exciting. Go check it out. I'll have a link to Chad's socials and his YouTube channel in the description on this week's podcast as well. And you can check it out, subscribe, learn more. I always enjoyed the podcast when you and Mike were doing it, and kind of learning or remembering, because as we've talked about, we're both big nerds for nostalgia in the 80s specifically, but now you're into the 90s, and as time moves on, that becomes even more nostalgic as well for us. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's interesting. To be honest, 1995 is not a good year for Touchstone, and especially like the first film. It's a film called Bad Company with Ellen Barkin and Lawrence Fishburne, which ironically about 8 years later, I think it is, Touchstone makes another movie called Bad Company with Chris Rock and Anthony Hopkins. which I've not seen. I'm hoping it's a little bit better, but this, the one in 95, I actually had to watch three times because I'd watched it twice for the podcast, which never got released, and then watched it again. And third time was better. I don't know if that's just because I knew what was happening, but yeah. So the show is a little, especially the first episode is a little rough, you know, again, doing this with zero budget basically and all by myself. So lighting and camera, you're trying to set up and yeah, it's going to be a learning process, but I think by the time we get to 1999, hopefully things will be looking good.
It'll be a work in progress, but I'm happy for you, excited. Again, check out Chad's YouTube series, Out of Touchstone, and the Double Feature Fridays. And again, we'll have the links for you all right there as well. We are going to talk some nostalgia with pro wrestling and pop culture here in just a couple minutes. So first, Chad, want to get your quick takes on some current events going on in the world of professional wrestling. You mentioned it off the top that AJ Lee is back. I know that some will say there was a spoiler out there. I don't know that it wasn't intentional, but what are your thoughts on AJ Lee returning and seemingly teaming up with her husband, CM Punk? First time we've seen AJ Lee in a WWE ring in 10 years. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah, I don't know if you can really call it a spoiler since WWE practically hit you over the head with the fact that AJ Lee was coming back.
Right. That's what I mean. You know, some people say, oh, somebody screwed up. I don't know that it wasn't intentional. So.
Well, I guess, yeah, if you're referring to the message from the shop,
yeah,
and I've read something where that was an AI generated response. So, I mean, blame the robots. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
But not totally, because soon they will be our Lord.
Exactly. Hey, when you watch Out of Touchstone and you see how much the robots are helping me, I give all credit and thanks to them. Yeah. You know, my issue right now with AJ Lee, I shouldn't say it's an issue with AJ Lee, it's an issue with WWE, is my Netflix account ended on Saturday the 6th. My cable account ended a few days before that. I am not signing up for an ESPN app that I'll never watch. So my WWE viewing right now is whatever shows up on YouTube or on Twitter clips. So, I mean, good for AJ to be back. You know, her and Punk will now get to spend more time together, probably, which I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I guess it depends on the people. But, yeah, you know, her fans, good to see her back. Because, again, she did kind of leave not necessarily on bad terms, but probably not the way that she would have liked to have ended her in-ring career earlier. So...
Well, as we speak on returns, you know, I had done a video. I don't think it was a podcast. I think I just did a quick little video clip on Chris Jericho and all the speculation that he is going back to WWE. I thought from day one when he showed up in AEW, I figured he would eventually make his way back and kind of end his career in WWE. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think there's anything wrong if he doesn't. And he's just kind of working the fans, as they would say. So do you think we see Chris Jericho back in WWE in 2026? And if so, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I guess it depends on which company you root for. no, I would not be surprised to see Jericho good, because I think Jericho is on the tail end of his career, you know, based on... not that he was bad in AEW in the last year or so, but he's lost a step, which granted, hey, he's older than I am and I've lost several steps in the last few years. So I can't blame him for that. I do think it's funny that when talk of him coming back to WWE started, you know, the rumors were out there, the reaction of people who, I think people who have clowned on him in AEW were like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so awesome to have Chris Jericho back in WWE. And it's like, okay, because if he's in AEW, you don't like him, but if he's in WWE, then he's the GOAT. And it's like, whatever. I think for AEW's sake, I would like to see Jericho go back to WWE. I think, yes, AEW has stars that have been in the business. I mean, you have Cope and Christian right now, although who knows how long they're going to be around. But I think AEW has done a decent job of bringing up their younger talent. And so they don't, whereas in the early days, they needed the Jericho, the Moxley, the Cody Rhodes to get that name recognition, get people in. I think 6 years in, you shouldn't need the same thing. So, but yeah, I mean, I can clearly see Jericho ending his career in WWE.
Well, and I, you know, I'm not picking a fight, but those same people that you said, say, about Jericho going to AEW and we're those AEW people will clown on him going, he shouldn't be there. He's out of shape, which he's been gone for a while, I think. And there is speculation that he's trying to whip himself into shape and whether it's to come back to AEW and have his final run there. Yeah. You know, that was the interesting thing with Sting is that, you know, he got hurt in WWE and seemingly retired and then obviously had new life in AEW. So I like the fact that there is that alternative there for folks to go and have a final run or have a, you know, I would love to see Edge and Christian. I'm not going to lie. I would love to see them involved in this Dudley's and Hardy's thing going on with TNA. Obviously that's not going to happen, but you know, there is that nostalgia that we like as fans, I think, to see guys and women have that final run or that final goodbye to the fans on a grander stage. And not that anything was wrong with the way AEW did Sting's last match. And I'm not to say that WWE wouldn't have screwed it up somehow, but it would have been nice to see it on a even bigger platform, like Ric Flair's last match in WWE. I, you know, his last match that they did a few years ago, it was what it was. But, you know, as more of our heroes from the 80s and 90s, I guess 90s mostly now, but like Jeff Jarrett and Goldust, Edge and Christian, it's going to be interesting to see how they sunset their careers. And this will probably be a topic for a later date. And as we get closer to John Cena's last match, we'll talk more about that as well. But, I don't know. It's an interesting time in pro wrestling with the deals being made and the stars that are, you know, rising to the top. And it's you know, wrestling's not that LOL, you know, you're a wrestling fan thing anymore. I think that there is, it's really legitimately becoming more recognized as a form of entertainment, of pop culture that is not judged like it was in the 80s, 90s, and even into the 2000s.
Yeah. Well, and now that you have to be a semi-millionaire to enjoy wrestling and go to a show, I think the people that, you know, are there aren't. Yeah, I don't know. I had an insult ready to go, but I lost it. So I just
probably. For the
I will say, you know, apparently neither one of us won the Powerball $1 billion. So we will not be going to WrestleMania next year.
Yeah. Yeah, we checked the numbers. Actually, I have not told my wife. So she had the power or the Illinois Lottery app on her phone and got locked out of it. So I downloaded it onto mine. And so she's like, hey, this was last week. Pick a number. And we only play one card. We don't, you know, do a bunch of whatever. And so we had played the 1 week and I did random numbers on our birthdays and anniversary and all that. Got nothing. So last week when I did it, I put into AI, give me some lottery numbers tied to professional wrestling. And so it spit out some numbers and I played those numbers and I ended up getting two numbers on that. And then I was only one off from the Powerball. So then this week she did and she picked the numbers and we didn't get any numbers this week. I think we got one number this week. But when she said, what numbers did you pick? I'm like, and I just read them off to her and she's like, are these tied to wrestling? And I'm like, AI picked the numbers. So
so what number, I'm racking my brain, what numbers were tied to wrestling?
So it was like, one of them was 3 for WrestleMania 3. One of them, I think, was 16 for Austin 3:16. 23. The Powerball was 23, I think, that it picked for me. And the actual Powerball was 22 because WrestleMania 23, there was some significant number with it set some kind of record. So that was all according to AI. So
did it pick out like 72 for the number of NWO members and 57 for the number of Bullet Club spinoffs.
Those would have been good numbers to add to it as well. So,
but I don't know how high the lottery goes. I just, every time I play, I go, just give me the quick pick. But the machine picks and the robots always let me down. So
yes, yes. So not billionaires, but we are rich on memories this week as we are doing some nostalgia. Diving back 40 years this week that Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling debuted. It was a cartoon. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the shirt that I am wearing with three of those characters from the show. Chad actually got me this shirt years ago. The Iron Sheik, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Nikolai Volkoff. Chad, what do you remember? Were you watching this cartoon? Because let's face it, by 1985, I was 12 when the cartoon debuted. I know you're younger than me. So were you watching cartoons still at this point? Obviously, we were entrenched in wrestling. This is coming off the high of WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania. We had the debut of Saturday Night's Main Event in the spring, and then we get to the fall, and the wrestling album gets released, and then this cartoon. So where were you in your fandom with cartoons and with, because we're going to talk more cartoons here in a minute too, but also with pro wrestling?
Well, being 11 years old in the Midwest, obviously I was working in the coal mines by this point, and I couldn't watch wrestling on Saturday. No, of course I was watching Saturday. I was getting up at 7, you know, not 6:30 whenever the snorks were on, but I would get up, purposely ignore the Smurfs and watch whatever was on the other channels. And so, yeah, I mean, when Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling came out, you know, I was very excited for it. I have vague memories of watching it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I mean, I don't know how long, probably in the last 10, 15 years before I found out that the voices on the cartoon were not the actual voices of the wrestlers, because they did live action segments in between the shows. So I was like, okay, if they're doing that, obviously the wrestlers are doing the voices, you know. And and obviously, you know, I didn't know who Brad Garrett was in 1985, or Avery, Charles, James Avery,
or James Avery, Charles Avery was the animator.
So I didn't recognize the voice, you know, the voices being different, but. And I watched a few episodes, I think when it came out on DVD. Mm-hmm. I think it came out on DVD. I never had the DVD, but for some reason, somehow the episodes, maybe they were on YouTube, I don't know. And I watched them, but I have not watched them, you know, since WWE has started re-releasing them.
Yeah, so that was kind of the big news of the week, is that WWE Vault is releasing them. And I didn't know if, because I think we had this conversation years back, a few years ago at least, and I can't remember if, did you do that episode with me, or was that Jason Skull? Because I did a few episodes with Jason Skull as well.
I feel like we've talked about it, but
yeah, I think there was something with the ownership or whatever, and because we had speculated why it wasn't on WWE Network at the time, and because they were doing, I think that was around the time when they released Camp WWE and tried to kind of bring back the nostalgia, I guess, with doing cartoons. But I remember very vividly the ads for, you know, the newspaper ads back in the day for the new Saturday morning lineups. You know, we would get Post-Dispatch and St. Louis, and the cartoon, the Sundays had the 3 or 4 pages of color cartoons, comic strips in there, and there was always ads right before, you know, building up to the new fall season of cartoons.
And we'd also have the, you know, Saturday morning preview show that would air like on Friday night, the night before everything launched. So,
and I don't remember watching this specifically, but I have seen it on YouTube since. But Rowdy Roddy Piper and Pee Wee Herman kind of co-hosted or did a segment with the CBS lineup, because Pee Wee's Playhouse, of course, was on CBS at the time. And then Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling came on as well. And Piper's in full Piper mode. You know, he's still a heel at this point. But looking back on it now and kind of remembering, because I haven't watched either since they re-released him, but just kind of knowing the players that were involved in it. And I know that, you know, the heels were Piper and Sheik and Volkoff and Big John Studd and some of those characters, Mr. Fuji and Moolah. And then, of course, they had all the good guys and Hogan and Tito and Junkyard Dog and Andre. I imagine it was kind of at times difficult to keep up with the animation versus what was going on storyline wise, because, you know, you had some big players that weren't featured in it. Paul Orndorff, for example, who was at the time on TV growing and rising as a big star. And then Bob Orton was always Piper's second. He's not in the cartoon. So I wonder how or what their method to their madness in picking who was in it and involved in it. And then, you know, Wendy Richter ends up getting released and Jimmy Snuka gets released during this whole run. So,
Well, and then you had, was it Mad Maxine was on the cartoon?
But he was like in a one or two of those as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have no recollection of her in WWF. So.
Yeah. I guess that's probably part of the challenge of doing animation is, you know, I think they have to produce it so far out in advance.
Yeah. Unless you do it South Park style.
Yeah. Well, and it turned into, for me at least, you know, they ended up releasing a series of, I think they were erasers. I have none of these, but I do have a vague memory of them being out there. But, you know, you had the LJNs, which I obviously collected and was big into, but you see these, I see customizers now, you know, on social media, they're able to do the 3D prints and they're making like all these really cool, awesome figures because kind of like the LJNs, the cartoon characters look close enough to their counterparts. I mean, some of them are a little off, but I don't know. It's just a real cool kind of fun nostalgic thing going back and remembering. And it only lasted two seasons. There's 26 episodes. So you could probably theoretically binge watch in a weekend and catch them all. But you know, they're cheesy, typical cartoons and the evolution of Saturday morning cartoons, obviously, you know, in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, you know, it's Hanna-Barbera, who I think are two of the greats in animation and really that pop culture time with Scooby-Doo and the Flintstones and the Jetsons. Eventually, though, in the 80s, I think, and that's when we were predominantly watching, it turns more into a marketing ploy. Ploy is probably not the right word, but, you know, we buy into it, you know. Yeah. You mentioned how much you love the Smurfs. This is not
I did a few.
Lunchbox I carried. I did have this exact replica, though, when I was in third grade. And again, it was seeing that ad in the Saturday morning cartoons or in the Sunday morning comic strips promoting the Smurfs. I was going into third grade and I was intrigued. And we saw this on the store shelves. And this was the first Smurf item I had to carry my luncheon. And inside it now are all the little Smurf characters. So I
was the original plastic or metallic?
No, it was plastic.
Was it?
Yeah. You know, not to dive into the whole lunchbox thing, but I can remember in second grade, I had a plastic. It was the same shade of blue. It was a plastic lunchbox, and it had more of a dome look to it. And on one side was Scooby-Doo, and on the other side was the Flintstones. And I remember it wasn't as durable as this plastic is on the Smurf lunchbox, but I can remember one time I took it and I threw it across the room when I got to school to put it where they're supposed to go. And as it tumbled, it hit the wall and it cracked all the way across the top of it. So not as strong, but I had the rest of my lunch boxes throughout elementary school. And that's when I stopped carrying the lunch box was after elementary school. They were all the metal ones that some of them are sitting in my dad's garage right now, holding drill bits and screws and other things. So
you should contact Batista if he wants to buy any.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, obviously waking up early in the morning, like you said, having that big bowl of cereal and just kind of watching cartoons all day until things switched over. And as we got a little older, it turned to wrestling, you know, UWF. And for me, it was UWF. And I think that was the only Saturday morning wrestling that came on in my area, at least. But Sunday mornings and Saturday nights were also big wrestling nights. But what are your memories of Saturday morning cartoons in general? I know, did you have a favorite at the time? I mean, obviously, my Hardee's glasses for featuring the Smurfs. I mean, I was all in, and when I think of Saturday morning cartoons, Smurfs is immediately the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because, you know, in the 80s too, in addition to Saturday morning cartoons, we had the weekday syndicated cartoons that you would watch after school. And so, you know, G.I. Joe, Voltron, Transformers were the big thing. Saturday morning, like right now, just going through my head is just random shows that would be on, like, you know, the Happy Days cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, Tarzan. There was like CBS had like an hour long block that would rotate. And I can't remember what else was on there. Yeah. And then the ABC had the, what they call it, like they would take a book and make it into a half hour cartoon. Like I remember How to Eat Fried Worms.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I know Saturday morning, NBC was probably the best one that I watched. Although now I say that, and then I think of wacky races or, you know, the Hanna-Barbera cartoon, which again, I think CM Punk has said that they should do a WWE films based on that. And I would love to see something like that. Or bring back a, you know, Seth Rollins cartoon and make it all wacky races inspired. I remember, again, I remember getting up every Saturday and watching just, you would watch from like 7 until 11 or 12 when they would, you know, and again, this was before politics got involved and said, oh, you know, you have to have so much entertainment or information and educational programming, which is how we got Saved by the Bell, I believe. And which, I mean, that taught us all a lot, especially those of us going through puberty. And
well, we had Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Those were fun ways to learn, I guess. And the little PSAs that they would do.
I think Schoolhouse Rock needs to make a comeback and just be played in Washington on a loop. That's all I'll say about that.
We, you know, like you said, I was early on, my first memories of getting up and watching cartoons, it was Scooby-Doo. Like I was obsessed with Scooby-Doo, and that was early.
Now, real quick, view on Scrappy-Doo.
At the time, I didn't mind him. And now as an adult, there's like so much hate online for Scrappy-Doo. And I get, you know, because Scooby-Doo, the originals were made in the 60s. And that's what I grew up on was obviously in the 80s, though, or in the 70s and 80s. But I can remember like the Viewmaster, having Viewmaster with the old Scooby-Doo clips. And then remember that thing that it was like a white plastic. It looked like a movie camera and you would put a card. And you would
cartridge, bring
the side, and then it would do a quick little cartoon clip too. You know, I remember those and having the Scooby-Doo ones and color forms and we've talked about the other thing. I can't remember what they were called now, but it was a scene and it had all the characters on a sticker page basically. And you would like rub a pencil on it and it would transfer it. And I can't remember what those were called, but all of those things, a lot of my memories of those were Scooby-Doo. The Hanna-Barbera, because I think my early fandom, you said, you mentioned NBC. For me, early on, it was ABC because that's where all the Hanna-Barbera stuff aired. Flintstones, Jetsons, Scooby-Doo, Laugh Olympics, the Wacky Racers, you know, all those cartoons were all from that time period for me. So, and that would have been like the late 70s, early 80s, I think, for me. And then obviously transitioning to NBC and the Smurfs specifically, I remember watching Snorks. And then I, you know, beyond that, Muppet Babies, I know was a CBS property. I loved the Muppets too as a kid. So I remember, was it the Muppets Take Manhattan, I think, is where they debuted the Muppet Babies as Muppets. And then the cartoon came out, I think, later that year. So which Mrs. Cleaver, June Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver, was the voice of Nanny, which I thought that was always a fun little fact. And I think Howie Mandel was Scooter and Skeeter in Muppet Babies. So,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was going to say, I don't think I knew that about Barbara Billingsley being the voice.
Oh, really?
And I haven't watched Muppet Babies in years. I wonder if I go back now, if I would recognize.
Oh, you definitely recognize her.
Especially, I was just watching Leave It to Beaver the other day, and I was like, oh, man. Ward, you're a little hard on the beaver last night.
The dirtiest thing ever said on television. So let's parallel, go back to 85. And I think this is where, Vince McMahon has either been credited with or criticized for the marketing side of pro wrestling and making it more entertainment, pulling the curtain back. Obviously, later the curtain got pulled back. But in those early days where you had the lunchboxes and the cartoons and eventually the cereal and all of the action figures and stuff, I mean, I would credit that with being what propelled WWF at the time into a whole new stratosphere. Second place, goes to Jim Crockett Promotions. AWA even had a line of action figures, but Jim Crockett Promotions, for whatever reason, never embraced that or never had the foresight or whatever you want to say to move forward with lunch boxes and t-shirts. And, they did do a few t-shirts and they did the Four Horsemen vitamins, I think, for a minute, but.
What was in that bottle?
Yeah. Well, this is when Lex Luger was around too. So who knows? No, Lex. What do you think a JCP, because it was such a different mindset, because like you've said before, you were more, I think, of a JCP fan than you were WWF. And it was more about the wrestling, I think, more than, even though they were telling great stories over there, it wasn't as cartoony. They had some toyetic characters, as Matt Cardona and Brian Myers would say. But, could they have done a cartoon with the Rock and Roll Express and Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair? And I just feel like the characters there were more your blue-collar, 9-to-5 guys versus the WWF with these larger-than-life characters. Mm-hmm. You've got the evil Iranian and the evil Russian, which WCW or NWA or JCP at the time, they had the Koloffs. But for whatever reason, looking back as an adult on it, it didn't have the same cachet, I guess. And I don't know that they would have. I just think it would have been interesting to see them try to market it, because, Dusty Rhodes was a character and a half.
Yeah.
A Dusty Rhodes cartoon could have been, because at one point there was the rumor that Dusty was Vince's first choice to lead the national expansion. So could we have had Dusty Rhodes as rock and wrestling? I don't know. I don't see Dusty as a rocker either. He was more of a country boy. So it's an interesting dynamic with Hulk Hogan. Would they have had that expansion with the cartoons and the buy-in from the public?
Yeah, I don't think JCP would have been able to be as successful as WWE if they had done the marketing. And I was reading recently about how even, after the NWO got popular, and still the lack of real promotional stuff, t-shirts, WCW had t-shirts, but they all look like somebody just made them in like 5 minutes with MS Paint. Mm-hmm. They were not good. They had action figures, but they weren't as promoted as what WWE would do. Especially as a kid, I could see you wanting to play with the Rock and Roll Express, maybe, because they were kind of more of a broad characters, but yeah. Are you going to take your Magnum TA character and be like, oh my gosh, I'm Magnum TA. I don't know what I'm trying to do right now with that voice, but I think WWE had that market on this only word that's coming to mind. And it's going to probably sound insulting, and I don't mean it to, but the circus atmosphere. Right. You know, it was as this larger than life, these, and I think it fit into Saturday morning. You know, we talk Saturday morning cartoons. So I think it fit in, those characters fit in more with the Smurfs, with Scooby-Doo, the Gummy Bears, than the Four Horsemen would have, or Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, you know.
Yeah, because like we said, it was more of a, it's all wrestling, but realistic was JCP. And I think that's what led to their downfall. And I'm not here to put Vince McMahon on a pedestal. I know that he's still facing things and whatnot, but without that marketing mind, I think behind a lot of this.
Yeah. Step on you. I think that old school mentality that Jim Crockett probably had, because he was, you know, with the Bill Watts, with Vince Sr., which actually isn't a senior, but I don't know what his middle name was. Vincent J. Was it?
Yeah, Jess.
Vince Jess. AWA owner, Vern Gagne. Yeah. You know, those guys were old school in, like, this is how wrestling's always been. We're going to keep it local. And Vince is like, saw the potential with cable television, with pay-per-view, you know, and wanting to explode and make it bigger. And again, not condoning anything Vince has done in his life. He's a terrible person. I'm pretty sure, based on anything we've heard, even prior to the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But you needed that visionary to make wrestling, you know, again, we said it after Hulk Hogan passed. If it wasn't for Vince and Hogan, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about wrestling 40 years later in the context that we do.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. And it's just kind of interesting to think back and look at it now as an adult, because at the time as a kid, I enjoyed all of it. You know, there was no tribalism. I like I said, I watched the AWA after school on ESPN when I got home. Mm-hmm. I would watch Central States. You know, growing up in the Midwest, we had access to Central States and Mid-South and World Class. I loved them all. Mm-hmm. WWE did stand out more. It was more kind of that in your face, but I loved the elements of all of them. Whereas today, and I to an extent have bought into the tribalism where, but it's like, we can all be fans of different things and like some, I like all wrestling. I don't maybe necessarily like some of the things that happens on any of the products. You know, you can watch these things and be, I don't want to say even critical of it, but have an opinion and know that, yeah, I don't want to see a guy get hit in the head with a barbed wire bat. That's my taste. That's my preference. So I'm not going to watch that. But I'm also not going to criticize or hate on the people who do like it. Or if I want to see a guy dressed in a stupid ass suit bounce around the ring, and I'm not saying that I do, but that was the first reference that came to mind. You know, social media, for all of its benefits, you know, we promote this podcast, we're talking about your podcast or your YouTube series that's coming up. Those are the benefits of having that free way of reaching the masses. But then at the same time, you're also reaching the asses of people being assholes and kind of spewing and spouting, whether it's pro wrestling, politics, NFL, or a TV show like The Odd Couple. So, you know, people have their opportunity to, you know, a voice has been given to the voiceless, but sometimes that's not always a good thing. And I just went on a totally different
time. I was just going to say, what if the barbed wire bat had a logo of a sponsorship on it? Then would you want to watch?
There you go. Monetize that. And, you know, and that's, you know, going back to the WWF's vision back, or, you know, Vince McMahon and his team, you know, back in the 80s, you know, music, cartoons, merchandise. I mean, they were firing on all cylinders. And it's interesting how time changed. And I guess by the 90s and the Attitude Era, I don't think you could have gotten away with a Stone Cold led cartoon series, just because the product had changed so much. And And they were targeting, you know, back in the day, they were targeting us as kids, but now we're adults and they're still, you know, and I think that's the interesting thing about guys and women like us that are in our early 50s. I still say early, because we grew up with the product and it kind of evolved, you know, it got slow there when we're in the college years for us, I think, because we still had.
Just like Saved by the Bell.
Right. Yes. We had trashmen and clowns and hockey players. And it really, you know, with Eric Bischoff and the NWO and kind of the launch of Nitro, which was 30 years ago this week as well. So a lot of anniversaries this month that are hitting. But I don't think without even that vision of kind of changing the format, changing the game that Eric Bischoff did, and he targeted an older audience.
Yeah. Well, and you have to throw in Todd Gordon and Eastern Championship Wrestling because what inspired Become Extreme was the goofiness of WWE. And like you said, it's going towards an older audience that made, you know, I think had you not had that aspect, even if Bischoff had launched Nitro without the influence of ECW, well, one, WCW wouldn't have had half of the roster they had. But also, I don't think Vince would have ever moved forward, you know, because as we saw prior to, you know, from 2003 to 2019, when you don't have competition pushing you to be better or to change and you're still making money,
right?
You can rest on your laurels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how we got the great Khali as champion.
Exactly. As we wind things down, would a, you know, they attempted it back. I don't know. It seems like it's was last week, but it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago, realistically. I haven't had one of the voice actors on the podcast. And this was pre-COVID. I know that. So could AEW pull off a cartoon series, an animated series? I say cartoon. Cartoon does sound more childish. And animation, I think it has evolved through the years too, obviously with Fox, especially with their Sunday night block of, you know, Bob's Burgers and King of the Hill, which is being revamped or rebooted and they've grown up or they've grown older, I guess. Is there room in the wrestling space in 2025 for an animated series, do you think?
Well, AEW, you know, has their deal with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers owns Cartoon Network, which has the Adult Swim, which has Rick and Morty and Aqua Teen Hunger Force and a bunch of other weird things that I don't watch. So I think definitely there is a potential there to make a more adult-centric show. And I think AEW has the roster that you could do that type of show with. You know, you wouldn't have to do the – I mean, I think – they could probably get away with a Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling type show as well and just show now. But I think the absurdity that they could go with, you know, like South Park kills Kenny off all the time or used to.
Right.
You know,
right.
You could do something like that with Darby Allin where he just, you know.
Yeah, because there are definitely, unlike JCP back in the early days, I think AEW has that cast of characters that, you know, you don't have Tully and Arn and Barry Windham and Ric Flair, who all kind of look similar in their, you know, ring attire and their personalities and all that. You know, Ric Flair was obviously more bombastic, but I think that you've got that character range to pull something like that off. And, you know, we've seen, I know WWE for sure, and you're going to remind me here in a second of if it's happened with AEW, because I feel like it has, and I can't think of who it was, but, you know, we saw John Cena on The Simpsons. We saw Bret Hart on The Simpsons. I think Ric Flair's been on Family Guy. There have been those wrestlers who have shown up on different animated series, and I feel like AEW not too very long ago had somebody on something, and I'm sounding like a boomer when I say that, but was there an AEW guy that was on a syndicated cartoon, or not syndicated, but a national cartoon?
Not that I can recall, but that doesn't mean.
Okay.
Again, if it didn't happen on The Simpsons, I don't know about it.
It was Colt. I think it was Colt Cabana, maybe. It was just not too bad. It was something with Family Guy, and maybe it wasn't.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, Colt was on because Colt's brother is a director of Family Guy, or he's involved with Family Guy. So yeah, he got Colt, and I think one of the other members of Dark Order, maybe, as just.
It was like a quick cameo or something.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they were billed as those characters or if they just resemblance. But yeah, you mentioned Family Guy. I try to keep Family Guy out of my knowledge. So,
well, you know, as we, like I said, wrap things up, I would have loved to have seen Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling carry on and continue. But I do think it's also kind of hard with wrestling, you know, storylines change. You know, Andre obviously turns heel a year and a half later. And so do you make him a bad guy in the cartoon? And how do you do all that kind of stuff? But again, it's fun nostalgia. I will go back and watch in the WWE vault because I do enjoy, obviously, as you look around, if you're watching all of my 80s and early 90s tchotchkes and things from wrestling and from pop culture in general. So any last words as we wrap up this week's episode, Chad?
Well, I mean, in regards to Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, I think I told you this back in March, and this is probably still somewhat on the table, but I was in the process probably of getting a Roddy Piper tattoo based on his image from the Rock and Wrestling cartoon. So if I ever, so once my Out of Touchstone video series goes popular and I can start making a living off of it, hint, hint, watch, subscribe, like, tell your friends, maybe I will add I will be able to finish off my plans and I will get that Roddy Piper tattoo. But because, you know, I figure he's the one that it's ironic given how much I hated Roddy Piper as a kid, but now as an adult, we've discussed many times, he's probably of that generation of people coming up. He's the one person I can still look to and be like, hey, you didn't totally screw up your legacy in your later days. So
he's my number five for sure. So
I thought that was King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy is, yeah, he should be number five. But yeah, I love that. And marketing tip for you, when you do get that tattoo, document it.
Yeah.
Document it. You've got a lot of cool tattoos, so that could be a whole other thing for you.
Thing, yeah. Which speaking of, if you haven't watched the WWE tattoo things they put on YouTube where they look at the wrestlers' tattoos and get the stories behind it. Yeah, the Dominic Mysterio and the CM Punk ones are really good.
Okay.
And the Rhea Ripley.
I'll check that out. And in the meantime, I want you all to check out Chad Smart as, again, throw out those handles so people can find you.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's Chad Smart, CHADSMART. I have no other way of spelling smart, but people always ask. And then also Out of Touchstone on Twitter and X and Blue Sky.
I was going to say, I thought it was Out of Touchstone on Blue Sky for sure. I just followed you there. So check it out, folks. And again, support the My123Cents brand as well. The toy drive is still underway, the action figure drive, and we'll have some news on that coming up in the weeks to come as well. Thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. We will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.